Welcome to the Maura Sweeney Podcast. Maura is an international speaker, Huffington Post contributor, and the trademarked ambassador of happiness. In 10 minutes or less, Maura weaves clever anecdotes, insightful questions, and personal stories to challenge your mindsets and enable you to live happier from the inside out. Here's Maura with today's podcast for you.
Are you looking for more respect in life? Well, if you're on a path to living happy from the inside out, today's podcast is for you. We all like to feel respected, but we don't always feel so respected. Sometimes it's a matter of how we view ourselves, and other times it has to do with how people are treating us in social situations. So today, I'm going to share with you, as I generally do, a couple of anecdotal stories. And what I want you to be doing is, as you listen to these stories, be inserting some of your own life into these stories and into these exchanges, and be looking for this one aha moment, one moment where you could connect with something that's going on, or there's an idea that comes to mind that will change the way you perceive things and change your thought life, and therefore change your intentions and your future behavior in a way that will help you feel more respected within, but also help you to exude that level of respect in your relationships with others. So here's my first story I want to share. It goes all the way back to my freshman year in high school. I'm 14 years old, and I'm attending a small all-girl Catholic prep school. And to begin with, I felt very awkward in this school, but they happened to offer a school dance. And I remember thinking, do I even want to go to this dance? Should I invite one of the boys from my local neighborhood to join me? Meanwhile, a few girls in my classroom said, "Oh, Maura, we know a boy that we can set you up with on a blind date." And they were doing it as if it was a nice gesture, but I learned from another girl in class that the whole purpose behind that so-called blind date was to really make me look foolish in front of the rest of my classmates and perhaps the school. The boy was anything but a special catch. He was probably the catch that no one wanted. As it turned out, I found out about it and I chose not to go to the school dance. And not really knowing what to do or say back at 14 years old, I said nothing. But about a week later, I happened to find myself alone with one of those three girls trying to set me up on this so-called terrible blind date. And when I was with her in that moment, I said to her, "Debbie," not her name, "I learned from one of the girls in class that that boy that you were trying to set me up with, you wouldn't have wanted to go out on a date with. Can you tell me why you and the other girls would want to have done that to me?" And it was probably a sincere question on my part. And I remember in that moment, this girl, everything on her face kind of dropped in great humiliation, or just the awareness that she had been found out, but she was all by herself. And she had no words for me. She turned her head to the side because I guess she needed to look away. And not that she apologized. She didn't know what to do, but she was without words. So that was the end of that situation. But there you go, in terms of the way I handled it. The second situation arose a couple of years later when I was back at public school in a much larger environment. And one day in an AP English class, our teacher, for whatever reason, maybe she was in a bad mood, I have no idea, decided that she was going to make a grand spectacle of yours truly. I didn't realize it when our class started and she was giving out papers that were submitted earlier. They were all book report papers. And she chose to read aloud to the class one paper that she thought was just terrible, not necessarily because of the grammar or the way in which it was written, but more in terms of maybe the content that was within it or the opinions within it. And she was walking around the room in great theatrics and histrionics. And the whole idea behind it is that she was turning the writer of the paper into a fool. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's using my paper. And I remember feeling totally humiliated. And of course, we reached a crescendo when she stood in front of my desk, in front of the silent class, because the class itself was kind of in abeyance, saying, "Oh my gosh, whose paper is this?" And she slammed it on my desk. It had a big red mark somewhere below the grade of C. And she gave it to me in a huff. And I remember feeling mortified. What I really wanted to do was run out of the classroom and hide in a closet. But instead, I just said to her, well, I was answering a question you asked about what our reaction was to the book. And in my case, hearing that the lady at the end of the story committed suicide, my reaction was exactly what you just read. And she proceeded to go at me even with more of a vengeance. And I just sat there, my little navy blue dress, very quietly, and took whatever lumps came my way. Now, in that case, it was an authority figure. I was being made a spectacle in front of my peers, but didn't say anything. And yet I will tell you that after class, several kids came over to me and said, wow, Maura, what was all of that about? And one of the boys in class said to me, Maura, if I were a lawyer, I'd be your defense lawyer. And it was just became a joke for all of us. I never did anything further, but that was the way I handled myself in the midst of great humiliation. In the third situation, happened decades later. At this point, I was probably in my mid-40s, married, had a growing daughter. And this situation involved my nuclear family, the family that I had grown up in. Now, with my growing daughter, there were several, or a few, words I used and decisions I made and actions I followed that somehow affected or intersected with my nuclear family. And what it did was create a lot of anxiety and I guess brought to bear a lot of maybe hidden fears that had been there under the surface that I didn't know about. And the outcome was great agitation within my family. And I was told, among other things, that I was being very disrespectful to my parents and even to my brothers. And I remember thinking, wow, that's interesting because that was not my intent. So I apologized for any miscommunication or misunderstanding, but it didn't seem to be enough because they were looking for a change in my behavior to go back to whatever they felt that it should have been in the past. And yet there were certain things that I needed to do as a mom and needed to be stable with as a parent that were kind of running contrary to what I was being asked to do from my nuclear family. So trying not to create any kind of waves, it seemed that that was not sufficient. The next thing that happened is that I was told that I was in need of mental help, that I needed medication, that I was off, and that I needed to see a medical professional for some kind of pills. And when I heard that, I thought, oh boy, this is really something else. I didn't take offense, but I offered my family to join me with a family counselor so that all of us might be able to go and find out what an unbiased person said. Well, that too didn't go over too well. And I remember things continued to be agitated with my family. And when I realized that I could not continue to apologize for who and what I was, or for the things that they were maybe accusing me of, or affixing to me in the way of motivations or whatever, I remember thinking, you know, I could talk and plead for 50 more years after the 50 years everyone has known me, and they will still be of the same persuasion. So after a little bit of time, this is what I ended up saying is, well, whatever it is you feel about me, I'm fine with it. And that was pretty much the way I handled it. So what does this mean in all of these situations? And how does this relate back to you? I want to give you one more story that has nothing to do with me, but it's a great one. There's a gentleman here in the Tampa Bay, Florida area I've known for several years. Very, very nice man who happened to share with me one day that growing up in his teen years, well into his 20s, he said to me, Maura, I wasn't just immoral as an individual. I was amoral. He said, I had no morals whatsoever. And he said, I used to think it was to my credit if I could walk over other people or take advantage of other people. And he said, until one day, I had an encounter with one person, and it was a woman. I gather that the woman was older than he was, and even as he, in his late 60s, early 70s, was sharing the story with me, tears were coming to his eyes, and he said, Maura, the encounter with this woman and what I saw her exuding was so incredible to me that I realized I was amoral, and he said, in that moment, I made a decision, and I thought, I want to be a better person. Now, it was remarkable for me to hear that story because all I know of this gentleman is that he is a remarkable man. He's kind, he's gentle, he's thoughtful, he's considerate, he's fun and fun-loving. But he's also a great community person who's always involving other people and always making other people feel valued and respected. So how does all of this relate to you? Each and every one of these stories do. Every time we have an opportunity to want to be more respected, we also have an opportunity to humiliate ourselves and to put ourselves down on a low level or look for some way and some new opening to exude grace and respect for the other people that we are working with. Well, those have been my thoughts for today, but before we go, let's listen in because there's someone else who wants to share with us what makes them happy from the inside out too. This has been Maura with Maura for You.
Hello, my name is Enrique Zúñiga. I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico, and what makes me happy is play basketball. I've been playing basketball all my life, so it makes me really, really happy. And right now that I'm retired, being a coach for little kids, it makes me feel young again. So I love playing basketball. I love basketball. Basketball is my life. And that's what makes me happy.
For more insights on living happy from the inside out, subscribe to this podcast. To learn more about Maura, visit her MauraForYou.com website, where you'll find videos, blogs, books, and the Foundations of Happiness self-study e-course. Maura, number 4, letter U.com, where Maura is always for you.